The Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
So you have what in terms of your relationship with these people?
Well, we've got two very wonderful people, as I told you, Phil, Don and Karen Llewellyn. And they live over the cherry blossom phase, which we've just completed. They've been in their home about 8 months. They've got a beautiful Villa de Castile floor plan.
But what's going on with them?
Well, they're getting divorced.
Okay.
And I said to Janice Greeley, who is on our Summertacular Steering Committee, I said, are you believing this? You know, divorce, Phil, is something, I guess you could say that Steve and I kind of get a kick out of it, because, not because we want to be divorced, because you wouldn't think there'd be that many weak people out there.
And, well, I mean, forgive me, but isn't that a little judgmental?
Well,
I mean, aren't there a number of factors when it comes to divorce?
I don't think it takes really a rocket scientist to figure out how to keep a marriage together. And when I spoke with Karen and I said to Steve, are you believing these people? We laughed. I mean, it seemed like for hours we were laughing over these people the other night.
Well, I don't understand. This couple you're talking about, Don and Karen Llewellyn, have children, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, what is funny about a divorce like this?
What is funny about it?
Yeah. I mean, a divorce where there's custody battles, where there's children involved.
Oh, my God. You have two young people. So I'm talking with Karen last week at a luncheon that we had at the Reagan Library, and she says, well, she and Don, this is the way she put it to me. She couldn't get into a sexual rhythm with him, or something about them not being on the same page sexually. And I have to tell you, I had to excuse myself and go to the ladies' room before I laughed in front of everyone and spit tuna salad all over everyone. I was going to, for me, to hear...
What is funny about that? Isn't that a common complaint that many couples have?
About sex?
Yeah.
So let me explain something to you and maybe to a lot of your listeners. I don't know. Because I don't know anymore whether people are really in rhythm with the reality of what's going on. But Steve and I have been married for 18 years. I've never said no to him. And I mean, we've been everywhere, and I have never said no to him. On boats, I remember once inside the block enclosure for pool equipment, we were on a Ferris wheel. You know, so I don't understand your question.
Well, I don't need to know every detail.
But I don't understand your question.
Well, look.
Phil, look, Steve and I believe that divorce...
My question is this. What's unusual about that?
Steve and I believe that divorce is really amusing. That people can't have what Steve and I have is kind of amusing to us. Steve and I look at divorced couples... or couples that are divorcing, and you don't want to say it, and you want to leave the room before you say it, but the loser word seems to be appropriate. I mean, they're just losers. And
is there no compassion, though, for the pain these couples go through, for the children?
You know, it's interesting you mention the children. Karen said that there's probably going to be a custody battle for the kids.
See, that's to me, that's sad.
Well, get a load of this. Apparently she drinks. Okay, and she drinks to excess, and I told her that, and Don's gonna use it, and she's telling me this, and of course the visual of them doing this tap dance for the children, who do you want to live with? I have to tell you, I had to excuse myself, and I really mean, it's this funny to me, I had to do a quick underwear check, because I can't, you know, it's just very funny.
All right, look. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. For those of you just joining us, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Western States Parent Teacher Organization on divorce, and specifically this couple who live. They are neighbors. They also have children who are in the school district there, right?
That is correct, yeah.
So you are a PTO board member laughing at the divorce of children, of the parents of children who's you know, under whose guidance... under your guidance, they depend. And custody battles aren't funny. They're tragic. Families falling apart are not funny. They're tragic.
Well, I don't know why you're punishing me, because Steve and I are...
I'm not trying to punish you. I'm just saying that...
Well, you are being a little accusatory, and...
Well, let me ask you something. In all instances, people that get divorced are losers.
Well, look, Phil, I've been married 18 years to Steve. I've never said no to him, ever. The key to a strong marriage is to just get with it, and I'm not saying people can have what Steve and I have. What we have is very, very special. And I'm not even trying to give advice. I'm just saying, I guess to me, people that get divorced are amusing. That's all.
So you sit there, you and Steve, if you'll forgive me, in a smug way, and say, I have...
No, we're not being smug, Phil. That's very unfair.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying, I have everything, and you don't have it, and you'll never be able to have it, and I don't care whether you have it or not. I just think you're funny.
No, I'm not being smug, and I...
Well, then what are you saying?
I'm saying, look, Steve and I have been married 18 years, and I don't care where we are in a storm drain. I mean, literally, one day we were walking through a storm drain. We were taking a shortcut through the foothills over here. And there was a large storm drain that was connecting Fountain to one of the main streets. And right there. And
all right, so you had sex in a storm drain. I mean, you know...
Yeah, but you want to use that as a joke. I'm telling you it's an example of how strong and how very, very special our marriage is. And
well, you sit there and you laugh at people. And like I said, let me ask you this question, okay?
I'm not laughing at anyone, Phil. I'm just laughing at how... I guess I am laughing at them, but I'm not laughing at them to be cruel. I'm just... When she says to me, oh, we're getting a divorce, I said, are you believing her? And I went over to Janice Greeley and a couple of the other women that are on the steering committee. I said, Karen, Llewellyn just told me she's getting a divorce. I said, are you getting this? And, of course, they rolled their eyes. They couldn't understand.
All right, look. What if Steve beat you? I mean, what if he cheated on you? What if he beat you?
First of all, I have never in 18 years refused my husband sexually. So Steve cheating on me is a non-factor. And what was the other thing you mentioned?
Well, what if he was physically abusive? What if he hit you?
What if he did? So?
What if he beat you?
So? So what if he did? So what?
If he beat you?
So what? I mean...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley here on the tragedy of divorce, the custody of children, the reality of... You know what? It's real for a lot of people, Ms. Dooley. It may not be real for you.
Well, maybe that's why I'm talking to you tonight. I don't know why people are weak. And I suppose I want to find that out more than anything, because as the head of a parent-teacher organization, I'm talking to a lot of these losers, and I don't mean to say loser, but I really am talking to a lot of them. Well, you know, Aiden's father and I are, and I don't want to say Aiden because that is the name of a young boy whose parents are divorcing, but, you know, his father and I are divorcing, and so it's going to be difficult in the time being because we're splitting custody, and I'm just thinking, are you ready for this? You know,
but it's a common thing, isn't it?
Well, if it's a common thing, it's not common to me. And maybe that's, I'm here to learn, too. Because I'm the president of the PTO doesn't mean I can't learn as well. And I would like to learn.
What is your question?
Why are they such losers? And
see, you're not going to get very far using that word. You're not going to...
Well, all right, what... Okay, I'm going to try and put this the best way I can. What happened to people that they are so weak and have a loser mentality that they get divorced? And
so you use the word loser again.
Well, I don't know exactly how I want to phrase it.
So what if your husband beat you?
So? What if he did?
You wouldn't leave him.
So what? I mean, I don't understand your question.
My question is this. Yeah, there's no reason for divorce. Everybody divorces. What if you had a physically abusive husband that beat you up?
So what?
So it, the guy is pounding you.
So?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Just put her on hold for a minute because it's frustrating me to no end here to talk to this lady. 1-800-449-8686, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates PTO on why do people get divorced, especially when she and Steve, to listen to her, she's never refused him an intimate moment in 18 years of marriage. They have a very special thing. She wishes people had what they have. And as the president of a PTO, she's got to deal with a lot of the people that she calls losers who get divorces, and then she has to figure out what to do with their kid. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A reminder on Monday, July the 5th, our third annual Top 100 Calls of the Year show. You won't want to miss this. It's going to be 100 or thereabouts calls of some of the most classic radio material heard on any radio show anywhere. That'll be Monday, this Monday, on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley joins me, the president of the Western Estates PTO. You've come on this program basically. What is that sound in the background?
I didn't hear you, Philip.
What is the sound I'm hearing?
You know what? We're enjoying a tub tonight. It's a Thursday night, and Steve is going to take a long weekend for the 4th of July weekend. So we're actually in a redwood tub that Steve constructed for us when we first moved in here. And it's a beautiful evening here in Southern California, and I hope you don't mind, but we're just taking a spa.
Okay, as long as it doesn't get too loud. I just noticed it was kind of rumbling in the background.
I'll try and keep the phone above it, Phil.
All right. So you don't know why it is people get divorced.
Well, I think it's a little bit of what we like to call sort of a hillbilly trash or trailer trash thing to do, because...
Well, I can tell you, hillbilly trash, I mean, some of the richest people in the world get divorced.
No, I understand those people. I thought you were talking about just regular people who...
All right, well, what's the difference?
Oh, my God. I've never... Look...
Your husband never slaps you, and if he does, it's okay?
Steve has slapped my face occasionally, but only when... there was an occasion when I had snored and I had kept him awake, and he had a very early day. And I can tell you, we have a custom in our home. We believe in what's called a courtesy flush. And he slapped me because I had not done that.
Doesn't that make you feel bad for yourself?
So? I don't understand your question.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is Charlotte. Charlotte, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Well, yeah, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
You got to listen to
mm-hmm.
me. How
mm-hmm.
dare you
mm-hmm.
get on our? You are
mm-hmm.
part of a PTO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have our children watching you.
Well, that's right.
Listening. Let me finish,
exactly.
Bobby.
Exactly.
Okay. You've
mm-hmm.
got them watching you, and you're
mm-hmm.
telling people on national radio that
mm-hmm.
you are going to accept your husband. Yeah. What if he beat you?
Well,
what
no.
if he goes
he
out on you? Let me finish, ma'am.
He doesn't beat me. He slapped me.
Okay, let me finish. Are you telling me if you had a daughter or a son and they're being beat by her man that you're going to look at your daughter in the face and say, no, you should stay with him?
I would run through a checklist before I said anything. I would say, do you courtesy flush? Are you doing things that keep him from getting sleep? You know, what is going on?
You're telling me there is a reason for a man to lift his hand and hit a woman?
Well,
that's a very good point that Charlotte's making.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. No, there's never a good reason. There's never a good reason.
Okay, you're contradicting yourself, Bobby.
I just
got to saying earlier that you could take somebody beating you.
No, I didn't say beating, did I? I said
you,
slapping.
The man asked you, what would you do
mm-hmm.
if your husband beat
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm. And I said, so what?
Okay, so you're telling us you'll accept that?
No, I won't.
Okay, let me tell you something, Bobby. I'm a cancer patient. I was going through chemotherapy. I lived with a man.
Well, what does that got to do with anything?
I lived with a man that beat me and put my head in a toilet when I was throwing up my guts from chemo. Do you
mm-hmm.
think I should stay with him, Bobby?
Well, he has a concern. You went out and got cancer just as the two of you were beginning to...
Wait a minute. Are you listening to her?
Bobby, are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This man shoved my head in a toilet while I was puking up my guts from chemo. You're telling me, Bobby, how dare I can't believe
you know
that somebody would allow you on our PTO. How dare our country? You talk about our country being sick. They're sick having people
the
PTO.
No, this is what I'm talking about. Did you flush?
What do you mean, did I flush?
When you were throwing up.
I was throwing up in the toilet, ma'am.
But I'm asking, Steve slapped me when I didn't use a courtesy flush.
I was throwing up from cancer, chemotherapy treatments. Do you understand?
Well, let me ask you a question, and maybe I don't get it. Why are you not able to handle the chemo?
I think you're sick.
Don't you know what chemotherapy does? It's injecting poison into the system to kill cancer cells. But the killing of the cancer cells also makes you very, very ill. It is
I'm alive. Bobby, they only gave me 8 weeks to live.
You know,
I'm here.
You know, I'm really resentful of the accusatory tone that both of you are taking with me.
I'm trying to
understand.
You said because you don't courtesy flush. By the way, what is that?
Oh, my God, lady.
A courtesy flush is something that actually civilized people should engage in. It's a flush to cover up embarrassing sounds.
Okay, so what I'm supposed to do while I'm puking up my guts from chemotherapy that is bringing up blood with it. Now, I'm only weighing at this point about 89 pounds, okay?
Oh, God, do
I
envy you?
Excuse me, sir, don't hit me right now. Let me courtesy flush first.
Well, I don't know what... 86 pounds sounds pretty good to me because I'm battling right now. I'm on the Atkins. And
wait a second. Forget the Atkins and forget all these other things. The lady had cancer, Bobby.
I understand that, and I'm very sorry for that. All I'm trying to say is this. Divorce, I don't get it.
You don't get it? I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. The man that you're with, I think he need to take you and get your head examined. How dare you? How can you be on our PTO? How did you get elected? Could you please tell me that?
I was elected because I'm a go-getter, because I'm on the go.
On the go for what?
I am always on the go.
For what? You're on the go for the men that are abusing their women. You're on the go for the children that are leaving their spouses because they're being beat.
Bobby, you are a whirlwind of activity. I planned all the poster boards. I've put up all of our, you know...
I am listening to you, Bobby, and I'm trying to understand. I just can't understand what you're telling me and telling people on our radio. You've got children listening to you right now.
Well,
young teenage children.
How dare you tell them it's okay to stay with
someone that's beating them?
It's difficult for a man to watch a woman that 8 months ago was in his vision a real piece of you-know-what puking up blood in a toilet.
And you're a full-grown lady. Man,
all right, okay.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Charlotte. I got to take a break here.
And thank you so much for letting me speak. But I want to know something, Bobby. You get on the radio right now, and you are telling the entire world, too, about your sex life, where you've been, what you've done.
Oh, my God, you're telling everybody about how you barf.
That's right. It's chemo, honey.
You're on the radio.
About sex acts in the sewer.
My God, you're on the air talking about, and I barfed here and I barfed there.
Oh, my God, lady.
I barf.
Gary, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
I wish you the best with this lady. She's sick.
Right. Bye-bye.
And she called you Gary. Oh, my God.
That's fine. Maybe she didn't know the name of the show. 1-800-449-8686.
So I want to inject something in here if I could. I didn't have much of a chance to talk. I think, first of all, that woman is a wonderful example of a strong woman. She obviously went through a great deal.
You better believe it, listening to that piece of garbage that she was married to, shoving her head in the toilet. Guys like that ought to have a baseball bat taken to the back of their head when they least expect it, just so their eyes pop right out.
Oh, my God, you are violent.
Yeah, that's right. When it comes to guys like that, yeah, very violent. Extremely violent.
Well, she is on the air talking about, and by the way, I barf. I barfed.
You know, I haven't heard the word barf since my daughter.
What?
Saying the word barf.
So what?
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley with us from the parent. You can see we're having a very spirited discussion of divorce. How does it happen? Why does it happen? Ms. Dooley doesn't understand. She and her husband will never divorce. She also has said her husband slaps her, but only if she snores or doesn't courtesy flush. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley with us from the Parent Teacher Organization. of Western Estates on divorce and how she can deal with it better, the divorces of parents of the children that she is taking care of as a PTO member. You've intimated, well, is your husband with you right now?
He's with me right now.
Is that you, Mr. Dooley?
Sir.
All right, I want to talk to you, Bobby. You guys are sitting together in the hot tub?
Yes, and that's why we're really getting a kick out of everybody calling in and saying, oh, my God, you know, you let your husband beat you. I mean, I am sitting in a hot tub right now with my husband, who I love, and for 18 years we've been together, and I guess we've just got something special, so that's why I'm trying to understand this divorce thing.
You said you let him slap you when you snore and don't courtesy flush.
Two times. I snored and I didn't courtesy flush, yes, and he had some friends over.
He had some friends over, so you were using the bathroom, you didn't flush to cover up the noise or something?
Yes. And I'm trying not to be graphic, but yes.
So when you came out of the bathroom...
He looked at me and he said, I love you, but you know what I'm going to do, and I said, yes. And he, you know, backhanded me across the face. But let me tell you something, Phil. Let me tell you the secret to a great marriage.
Oh, man.
No, listen to me. The secret to a great marriage, I don't care if you're on top of Mount Everest. I don't care if you're in the deepest, deepest ocean. I don't care if you're on the moon or you're inside of you know, the biodome or whatever. Whenever your husband wants it, you give it to him. And let me tell you, it can be really great. It's really wonderful.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I will not comment. I will simply just go to a phone call here. We have Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm stunned. I'm totally stunned at these women. This woman.
Well, you know, it's
like we're in 1940 or 1950. Okay, I want to tell you something, lady.
Maybe you're stunned.
I have no. You have no idea what it's like to be ill. Okay, I have diabetes.
Oh my God.
I take psychotropic drugs.
Do you have any people that listen to your program, Mr. Henry, that are not, you know, terminally ill?
I mean,
wait a minute.
I am not terminal. I live with vomiting every day because of the medication that I take to be normal.
Well, boo-hoo, you barf.
Boo-hoo, you know. Woman, you're fat, too. Okay,
I'm
when
not
you
fat.
Fart, when you fart, does your husband slap you?
When I don't courtesy flush, yes.
No, when you're walking around town or you are walking down the hall and... Because I know you're probably overweight, you're drinking diet drinks.
I said I envy that lady being 86 pounds.
Okay, are you overweight?
I'm 110. I'm 5'7". I would hardly say I'm overweight.
I thought you were on the Atkins diet.
Yes, I was.
Okay. But when you fart, which is a normal noise that people make, or you burp, does your husband slap you then?
Well, what would you expect him to do?
I would expect him to say to you,
my
you
God,
know, you
are
need
you
to
trying
go to
tell
the bathroom
me,
to do that.
Are you trying to tell me that you, when you walk around and you cut one, that you think your husband's supposed to stand there and take it?
Of course, it's a normal bodily function. Us coonies.
Oh my God.
Us coonies.
Wait a minute.
Have a farting problem, okay? And we pass gas, and it is a joke.
What do you mean cooties? What, I don't understand.
My last name is Cooney. Lisa Cooney, I'm from Burlingame, California. My dad is a cancer doctor, and I want to tell the woman that just called.
Oh, so that's really great, Lisa.
I just,
hey,
you know,
everybody
the lady
in the Cooning family.
If she's
family.
Growing up, tell her to call me, and I will hold her head while she's vomiting from chemo. Okay?
Lisa, you have just said that.
I hope that you do not live near me and are part of the Parent Teachers Association in my area.
You're in Burlingame? No, I'm in Southern California.
I would vote you out.
Well, Lisa, you know, good news for me. I live in Southern California, not Northern California. Thank you, Jesus. So,
all right, come on.
Be praying God doesn't want men to hit women.
Hold on for a minute. Let me just say something.
Of course. No, I want to. Lisa has just said the entire Coon family from Burlingame.
No,
Park.
Not
you
Coon.
Have just embarrassed your entire family.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
The family's name is Cooney, not Coon.
Thank you.
Well, she embarrasses. Hi, I'm Lisa Clooney, or whatever she said. And
Cooney.
Cooney.
It's an Irish name.
All right,
thank you.
Lisa Cooney. And hi, my entire family is disgusting.
No, I did not say that.
Oh, my God.
I said that my whole family passes gas.
It's the same thing. Oh, good. Here come the Coonies. Hold on to your... You know, what am I supposed to do? Hold my nose?
No, well, where do your farts go?
You know something?
Where do your farts go?
Do
you have some magic bodily function that your farts don't come out?
You know something, Lisa? We're two young ladies talking. I think we could have a little bit more decorum. Secondly, when I had
do
the bad man...
You're not condescending me, ma'am.
Well,
you are speaking,
like...
I am probably older than you are.
You are speaking,
okay.
Well, the boo-hooing...
We are speaking, and I am really pissed off at your attitude and that children are listening to you.
I can control...
My daughter was in the room. I had her leave. She's 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If any man or any boy ever hit her, I would turn into a tigress, man.
And you're trying
to
tell me...
And that family would know that I don't approve of that. Okay?
So, pass the clothespin. Here comes another Coonie. Okay, thank you.
All right. You know, Bobby, this is childish to be even talking about this. The lady, I think, brought it up in the first place to say that we're all natural human beings. We have, we have our good days and our bad days. If your husband to slap you and to say it's okay to slap you because you have these foibles, these human foibles, is an unacceptable thing. She doesn't want her daughter to hear it. She doesn't want to have impressionable women hear that, well, you know what, it's all right to accept the slap of a man.
And yet, every day in America, we have couples divorcing, and Steve and I have been together for 18 years. I'm able to hold
divorced,
my tooth.
Thank God. Otherwise, they would have killed each other. Okay?
Who?
And us, my brother and I, probably would be in mental wards right now. Okay?
Well, no, in fact...
They did not gel like you, but my father's second marriage has been for 35 years.
I'll tell you something. Maybe you should be in a mental institution, walking around and blasting them out everywhere you go.
Oh, man. You're laughing.
Yeah, she thinks it's funny now.
You know
all right,
what,
Lisa,
ma'am?
Thank you.
No, I just think it's just...
You know what, ma'am? You are sorry.
Lisa,
and
you
I, you know, when I go to bed tonight,
noisy,
I am going to sound,
noise.
I'm going to say a prayer for you, ma'am, that God forgive you for what you are and what you're doing to the children of this country, that people like you should be locked up somewhere.
Lisa, you're angry because you fart, and that is the bottom line.
So do you.
Lisa makes more bubbles than this hot tub, Steve.
Hey, whatever your name is,
right.
You fart too. Does your husband fart, or do you give his, your fart?
Hey, Lisa, God forgive the farting Coonies.
Do you remember that movie, The Fighting Sullivans? They should have one called The Farting Coonies.
All right, you know what? This has turned into a
joke.
This has turned into an absolute...
I thought this was serious.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought this was serious as well, and this has turned into some kind of a...
And he is just...
No, I am a beast.
All right, Lisa, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let me move on here to another call, and I need to keep these calls shorter, Ms. Dooley. Melinda, go ahead.
Well,
and that means I need for you to let the caller speak, and you speak less. Go ahead, Melinda.
Thanks, Phil. Hey, Miss Dooley, I am absolutely appalled that you would advocate or condone that abuse in any circumstance
is
okay.
I don't condone.
You're saying that it's okay that your husband slaps you. There's no difference in the escalation of violence.
I don't know.
Okay?
I don't think it's the same thing.
You're saying that abuse and slapping are two different things.
Yes, absolutely. Abuse?
Do you know how the law defines it, ma'am?
Did you say your name is Mike or Melinda? I don't...
Okay,
wow.
So what is that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean?
I think we know what we're dealing with here, right, Melinda? Come on.
Woo.
Come on. Say it.
Wow.
Isn't it true?
No, ma'am. Absolutely not. Because I'm confident and because I'm educated, you have a problem with that?
No, but it sounds
like we
got a little...
I'd like to know what kind of psychotropics your husband's on that you can spend the last 18
years with you. It sounds like we got ourselves a Rocky Mountain lesbian here. Now, do we or do we not?
You just get that. You know something, Ms. Dooley?
My orientation has anything to do with you condoning violence, and I asked you a question that you didn't respond to. I said, how do you think the law defines abuse?
Good question.
Do you think they differentiate between a slap and a punch, or a slap and hitting somebody with a hammer? And at what point, when this violence continues to escalate, is it when we're saying it's okay? You're saying it's okay for women to accept that under any circumstance. And the items that you're using are incredibly trivial. Whether or not it's passing gas, whether it's not a courtesy flush, or whether it's not you forgot to lock the front door or turn off the stove, it doesn't matter. You're saying that it's okay. And I'm asking you, how does the law differentiate between that?
It's a good question, Ms. Dooley. How does the law define it? Because that's what we got to talk about.
I You know, I think you put me...
You know
something?
You?
I think
you
put me on a very...
Know.
First of all, your issue with men stems from your orientation. That's number one. Number two...
Wait a minute.
You know, you're talking
the
about
question...
one thing, and I'm talking about people being abused. And you know what? If you want to cross that border and talk about in any interpersonal relationship, at what point does abuse become okay? And why does the law define it
you
the way
have
that
to
it does?
Understand he had a room full of poker buddies. They were trying to enjoy the game, and I'm in the bathroom making every
noise.
I'm
asking you, so you're saying there are guidelines, and the law should cater to when women are slapped and differentiates between a punch and whether or not people are present?
See, a cop's going to come, Bobby, and...
Excuse me, but I was talking to Manny. I wasn't talking to you.
And the Manny crack she gets to, her name is Melinda. Are we going to be adults here, or are we going to sit in a hot tub and make jokes about whatever?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question, Mr. Henry.
Mr. Dooley, yeah.
I was wondering if Melinda could sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
I think she's hung up. She hang up? We lost her. All right.
Oh, are you kidding?
She's gone, yeah.
Well, I mean, she sounded like a guy. Just like a guy.
Crystal, are you there?
I am here.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. You know, what's your name, Ms. Dooley? I am appalled by your behavior. What kind of classy woman goes around on national radio and broadcasts what kind of sex acts she performs with her husband, and you're supposed to be an influence to our young children? I would never...
I'm not getting a divorce,
excuse
Crystal.
Excuse you. You
I'm
have
like
you've
you
had your
and
term.
Millions of
you've
women. I don't get divorced.
Ma'am, you've proved your ignorance already. It's my turn to speak. You're appalling. And in the whole situation, I think you're the loser, because how dare you call American society? You don't know what everyday people go through and what goes on in their homes. How dare you call them hillbilly trash because they're going through a divorce? You're the loser in this situation because you're the weak one, because you stay with your husband who smacks you. So you're the weak one who can't pull yourself out of that situation.
Oh,
so you decide... Hello?
I'm right here. They've got fireworks going all of a sudden, Phil.
So you decide to stay in a relationship where you get beat because of a courtesy flush. How dare you?
You
you're
know something? At
and
least I haven't gotten
situation.
Divorced like millions of weak women who are out there getting divorced every day. My husband and I are together. We've raised
your
three
husband
sons.
And you are together for 18 years because you listen to every command he gives you, and you're not woman
between...
enough to stand up for yourself.
Oh, sure.
You don't
you
even
weak
have a mind
women.
Of your own.
Just because a man tells you to do something, you divorce him. And you add to the divorce rate in this country. And just because I allow my husband to make mistakes and women like you don't...
And where are you anyway?
Some of the neighborhood kids are starting to...
I can't even hear this
I'm listening to fireworks.
Some of the neighborhood kids have done it. Steve, I don't know. I'll move inside if you want me to, Phil.
If it keeps up much longer, I don't know.
I can't even hear her.
Well, look. First of all, he had a room full of men...
Who
and
cares?
I'm in the bathroom
it
cutting
doesn't matter.
Every
it does
resident
not
to
matter.
Fart.
It does not matter. Obviously, you go to his every beck and call. That's why you're together for 18 years.
Well, because you hate
men. You do not stand up for yourself.
Just because
this
you
is
hate
not
men.
The 1950s, honey.
Just
you
because you
stand
hate
up
men.
For yourself, and you do not let a man put his hands on you. You are the weak one because you will not pull yourself out of a situation, and you're scared.
You know
you're
something?
Probably scared
if
out
you're
of your
so,
mind.
If you're so strong, why is your name Crystal? Good
I'm so
sweet
wrong. Lady, let me tell you something. You don't know nothing about me, okay? And
oh, good English,
to
too.
Someone needs to put you in your place. You are an ignorant woman. You're stupid.
Oh, I'm stupid.
That's what you are.
Tell
you have
name.
No common sense. And maybe
you
your husband needs to beat your ass
if
because
you, were,
you don't know how to control yourself.
Well,
you're
one
a
of the
moron.
Things that a man who...
You're a moron.
If
that
you were here right
line.
Now, you know something...
This
you want to throw down?
Kick you off his radio show because you're...
Get the firecrackers out of here, will you?
Dylan, tell him
you're
about
an embarrassment.
That. You know something,
you're
Crystal?
You're an embarrassment to yourself.
Well, I want to say
you,
one
that's
thing.
That's what you are.
I want to say one thing. I'll throw down with you anytime you want, honey.
Lady, I'm in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
You sound like some...
I'll whoop your ass up and down the street and...
Jacksonville, North Carolina.
You.
I come
you
from...
You don't scare me,
you know
me,
something, honey?
I
come from the big
sense.
City.
You don't scare me.
I come from the big city,
thing.
Not the burgs.
You
I come from the big city.
You stay on the phone, and I'll give you my address.
You know what?
You're such a classy woman.
You
want to
know something? I can throw down like any black woman. I throw down like a sister.
I don't give a damn. Listen, honey, I'm from Western New York, okay? You've never been to my hood.
You're from where?
You're from where?
Where are you from?
Brooklyn, New York. You heard
big
me, right?
Wow. I'm from the coast.
You're from the coast. You're sitting in some hot tub and you let your
incoming
husband see you.
Hello? What happened? Well, I heard the fireworks, but it sounded like there was an explosion. I've lost all the calls. I've lost Ms. Dooley, everything. I don't know whether the caller exploded, Dooley exploded, Steve exploded, the whole phone line exploded, the phone company exploded. All of a sudden, I heard, I'm from the coast, I'll throw down, and then an explosion. Wow, is all I got to say on that one, baby. Wow. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back in a moment.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don Berman was on our show last night. We'll have a flashback from Don Berman and how bowling shoes and publishing your size, your shoe size on the back of the shoe, are infringing on your right to privacy because of their obvious because of its obvious correlation to a man's anatomy. You know, I don't know. My son's here, and I don't want to get too graphic, although Chris does have a size 13 shoe. Now, moving on. What did you say, dude? Size 16 shoe. Oh, look at him. He's like, he's bloating it up, you know.
As long as there's chicks listening, why don't you just lay it on him, man?
And we also have for you this evening, I still want to mention on Monday, coming up Monday, July 5th, will be our third annual Top 100 Calls of the Year show. We really enjoy doing the show. I hope you like it. It's the top calls of the year. I mean, the funny calls, you know, that include all the shtick we do with Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray. We got Vernon Dozier. We're going to have Dean Wheeler. We're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler. We're going to have Jay Santos. We're going to have Clara Bingham. We've got a couple of Margaret Gray calls. And we'll count them down to the number one call of the year last year. What was the number one call for the preceding year? Do you remember, Janice? God, I'd like to look back and see.
Yeah, I got to grab the log. I'll find
yeah.
it.
I mean, I'd like to look back and see, like, last summer, we had the second half. And I remember the very first one we did, we had to preempt for a few minutes because of that nut that shot people up at LAX. However, this Monday, I think things will go along swimmingly, and it'll be our third annual Top 100 Calls of the Year. So listen to that, because talk radio these days sucks anyway, but on the holidays, it's almost unlistenable. That's why you got to listen to our show Monday for the Top 100 Calls of the Year. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back shortly.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, coming up on Monday, as you know, we have our top 100 calls of all of the year. I should say, not of all time. Top 100 calls of the year. And we looked it up just for the record. Last year, the number one call for July 4th, 2003, for the preceding year, was the famous Bobby Make Mud Out Your Ass call. I don't know if I can say ass in today's present zero-tolerance climate.
FCC.
I just said...
No, you can't.
All right. And then the year before that, on July the 4th, 2002, the number one call for the preceding 12 months in July of 2002, and it's rapidly become a classic, Vernon Dozier's Plane Go Boom, which has been requested and is actually on one of our CDs. What will it be on Monday? What will be the number one call? You'll have to listen and find out Monday, top 100 calls of the year. Well, today Saddam Hussein went on trial, and one thing the Iraqi court might need is a guy like that guy in Clockwork Orange. Do you remember the prison guard in Clockwork Orange who kept telling Malcolm McDowell, shut your filthy sewer, They need a guy who will do that. They need a guy who will sit there to tell Hussein to shut the sewer under his nose. You cannot tell me, shut the sewer under your nose. You people are illegal. Shut your filthy hole. I love that guy. Sir, can I just shut your filthy sewer? He was yakking and yammering away and telling everybody how it am and how it was. But then that's Saddam. That's why he's so lovable. That's why he's so beloved. That's why so many people have gone out of their way to beat their chests bloody with sadness over the fact that he's no longer in power in Iraq. Oh, yes, I know. They'll tell you it's because we didn't prove there were weapons of mass destruction. And I'm sure they'll tell you it's because they don't think we proved there was an Al-Qaeda link, even though that's been proved over and over again. And if it hasn't, then that makes two presidents liars, not one, two. And that double goes for the weapons of mass destruction. However, the fact is they beat themselves bloody. They pound their fists on the walls of their illogic because Saddam, he ain't no longer in power, baby. I'm going to tell you right now, I think this is one of the greatest things I've seen any president do. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding. I know I sound like an idiot to a lot of you. That's okay. This guy Bush took a look at this situation in the Middle East and he said, you know what, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it with guns. Bullets, guns, bombs, tanks. And people said, you have got to be out of your mind. You can't go in there. Why, that place, it's going to be a melee, man. It's going to be a hotbed of fanaticism. And oh, no, no. It's worse than taking on the Nazis. It'll be worse than trying to take on the communists. This is, no, you can't do. That's where the oil comes from. That cat said, you know what? Kiss this. I'm going in anyway. We're going to go in. And a year later, yeah, sure, the place is still not secure. The place still has its... still has its pockets of resistance and so-called insurgency and all the other phony names people want to apply to a bunch of power-grabbing Nazis running around with sheets on their heads, cutting people's heads off, whatever you want to call it. What's happened is this. Saddam Hussein stands accused today in a court of law by the Iraqi people. The Iraqi people have begun the very small steps toward some kind of a democracy. They're being helped along by the very finest that this country has to offer, our young people. And what are they getting for their trouble? They're being dishonored by the American people and the American media. They're being dishonored in films. Their mission is being questioned. The president has been lampooned as hysterical, paranoid, stupid, insane. In other words, everything is happening today that ensures this will go down in history as one of the greatest moves any president ever made. You want to know why? Because it isn't popular right now. World War II wasn't popular either. Oh, I bet you didn't know that, did you? No, we didn't want to get involved in that one either. Civil War wasn't popular. That's right. Wasn't popular. In fact, the Revolutionary War was fomented mostly by landowners. The people didn't give us sweet crap. A lot of them were pressed into service. The Revolutionary War I'm talking about now, okay? The big one, George Washington, you know, I can't tell a lie, I chopped down an apple tree, that one, yeah. Guess what? That was mostly a war brought on by the very moneyed landowners of the East, and they pressed into service a lot of the people that fought in the initial Continental Army. Civil rights. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted that. Yeah, a handful of college students and a few intelligentsia, most of the American African-American population, of course, but for the most part, the American people didn't care, didn't want to engage it, felt that it wasn't the federal government's business, yada, yada, yada. Didn't want that one either. Women's rights, didn't want that. And as you all know, we just embraced warm, with the most warm, loving, I was going to say warmingly, but that's not really... Like you have speak better than I do, bud?
Warmingly.
Okay, how would you say it? We embraced what?
We embraced it with in a warm manner.
Smartass. As you all know, gay rights, yeah, we're all down with that, aren't we? What else? Evolution, didn't want it taught in schools. Woman's right to choose, didn't want to have anything to do with that. The vote for a woman, didn't want that. Black vote, didn't want that. There isn't anything that's moved this country into the future that we were ever in favor of in this country. Think about it. And maybe that's the way it is. Because we're a democracy, we are people. And because we're people, we tend not to want to take chances. Individuals take chances. Masses of people do not. Masses of people follow anything that leads. Individuals lead. Individuals. It starts with one person. It started with Margaret Sanger when she said, you know what? Maybe women can control their own fertility rate. Maybe they control their own fertility with a thing called a birth control pill. They were arresting her. They were throwing her in jail. People didn't want that. You think we got the GI Bill today because somebody decided that out of the milk of human kindness we'd give GIs their benefits? No. No. The Capitol Mall, 1930s, veterans of the First World War had to camp out there and ask for money that they were promised after the First World War. They were broken up by other soldiers, led by General Douglas MacArthur. They were forced off the mall at bayonet point. American soldiers who were asking for benefits, which eventually were given to American soldiers following the Second World War. What else do you want to know about the history of this country and how things work? What else do you want to know? Iraq is just like it, just like all of it. Bad thing, bad, no, bad, don't go in, that wasn't proven, this is, no. Can't do, shouldn't do, mustn't do. Bad man, Nazi man, bad, corporation person. Being accused, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black, the very people that accused Bush of this sort of nefarious corporate relationship, these people themselves are part of large corporate interests. These people themselves are made out of money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Just a battle of whose corporate interest gets what, I guess. But today, I got to tell you, I sit here and I look on with amazement that I'm not even going to say the American people had the guts to take on Saddam Hussein. George Bush, some American soldiers, some people in Congress that believed in him, a few Americans. And for the most part, the American people themselves are rather ambivalent. You know, whatever succeeds, we're in favor of, and whatever fails, we generally are not in favor of. I'll give an example of that when I come back. Did you hear what happened to Katie Couric this morning while the rest of the world was broadcasting Saddam's trial? She was out demonstrating badminton rackets. That's right. NBC, baby, always first with the news, man. You better bring Mo Zucker back as the executive producer on that show, because the guy you got right now, they got Katie Couric running around in tennis shorts showing people how to hit with a little birdie on a badminton racket. What is that about? What's up with that? 1-800-449-8686. Tonight on our show, a flashback with Andrew Chase. And a little news about Kobe Bryant staying in Los Angeles. And other little items as we head toward this 4th of July weekend on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So anyway, there he was, Saddam, sitting there giving all kinds of crap to that poor Iraqi judge whose life, how much do you think his life's going to be worth out there in the next few days if they ever show his face on TV? Which, by the way, if you're wondering why you didn't see his face, that's exactly why. So he doesn't step out his front door and get blown up. So somebody just greased this poor guy his first day on the job. And he's sitting there talking to this guy Hussein. Now, you got to understand, Hussein, this is the first time in 30-plus years that he's actually had to sit and listen to someone talk before he's allowed to respond. The first time in some 30 years, the guy's not just said, you know what, I'm tired of listening to you. Why don't you go out and cut his tongue out? He had to sit there and listen. And then he would talk, and you know, he was sticking his finger in the guy's face, talking about the Iraqi Constitution. This dude, that apparently Saddam Hussein must think that he was the great defender of the Iraqi Constitution. Well, the Iraqi Constitution isn't worth wiping your rear end with if this guy was a defender of it, because it must have in there some proviso about throwing guys off of rooftops and cutting their freaking tongues out of their heads if this guy was a defender of it. Then he says that he invaded Kuwait. By the way, at no time, these people that are smoking way too much of that Humboldt bud, who were saying that they were sideways drilling into Iraq, that's why he had a right to invade Iraq. At no time has Hussein ever made that claim. In fact, he was in front of the judge today, and he said, the reason why I invaded Kuwait is because they said they were going to reduce Iraqi women to 10 dinar whores. He called them a bunch of dogs. That's why he went down there. Now, I know it's killing a lot of people today who were against the initial invasion and subsequent war in Iraq because their boy is on trial. This is just a little bit of logic that I've tried to inject into the conversation before, but people won't address it because it makes too much sense. It's absolutely impossible, because I no longer allow for this on my show, and I know some hosts, I don't know how the guys do their shows, and I don't care, but on my show, you don't get to get away with the comment, "I'm glad Saddam's gone," but you're gone. However, the facts are these. If you were against the war in Iraq, you are not glad Saddam is gone. You wish he was still there. It's impossible to be happy at the outcome of something that you have resisted, because you then have to admit that you were wrong in your assessment of this operation as being ill-thought and potentially unsuccessful when its outcome is something that gratifies you. So therefore, I'm going to now believe as fact, if you say you were against the war in Iraq, then you are very sad today to see Saddam Hussein on trial in front of his people. Now, that way, nobody gets any wiggle room on this show, see? No more of that. Call some of these lightweights that are on, okay? Don't bother me with this stuff about how you're glad he's gone, but. Because we ain't playing that anymore around here. You're glad he's gone, huh? Well, then shut your filthy sewer under your nose about how you bush this and bush that. Because you know what? It's starting to get really, really ponderously dull anyway. 1-800-449-8686 and... don't forget, our top 100 calls of the year coming up on Monday. And if you'd like to email us, phs@philhenryshow.com. Did we do another mailbag today, or did I not get all the mail? I forget what the hell I did with it. Here is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi. I don't see Bush supporting the troops. He's cutting the benefits.
What benefits?
The benefits to get we're working overseas on war. And,
wait, what benefits?
Like benefits. Like, you know, like if they get their arms chopped off or they get their legs blown up.
So in other words, you don't know what you're talking about.
You just get a bandit.
And, so you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, next question.
Okay, next question.
Yeah, okay, get lost, will you? Yeah, Bush, no, he's not like, you know what, man, don't bore me with your lack of information. He ain't cutting anybody's benefits. There's a tax problem involved in death benefits that they're trying to correct. It wasn't protected from income tax, all right? Know what the hell it is you're talking about before you call. I'm on a really short leash today. Real short, man. I ain't playing dumbass today. Here is Matt. Hello, Matt.
How's it going, Phil?
Fine. What do you want?
I basically just wanted to talk to you about what you were saying about the war in Iraq and being against it and then being happy Saddam's out. You know,
No. I'm not going to listen. Don't tell me you're happy he's out, but you're still right about being against the war.
Well, let me just give you a hypothetical.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just saying that.
You got to turn that radio down, though, Ace.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. You can be against, the means doesn't always justify the end.
Give me cliches. Tell me how it is that you're happy Saddam's gone, but you were against the war. Don't lay a lot of cliches on me.
Saddam needed to be out, but we have to understand that the
culture... Saddam needed to be out, but... Okay, so you're full of crap, too. Goodbye. Anybody else? You start giving me this Saddam needed to be out, but stuff. See, I got a whole new policy now. You want to give me something that I haven't heard before, you're more than welcome to be on the air. If you're going to start playing this same old, man, I got better things to do, okay? I got my son with me tonight. We can go out and get drunk. He's 14. It's about time. Saddam needed to be out, but did he need to be out? No, he didn't need to be out. Obviously, he didn't need to be out, because if he needed to be out, that would have been the justification for going to war. But that wasn't enough of a justification. As a matter of fact, I heard people bleeding and crying and weeping about how we had no right to. It's their country. Oh, my God. Can you believe Americans, when they really set their mind to it, they can sound as stupid as any human being in the history of the world. The fact that it was their country. Listen to that statement. Since when was it their country? Now, look, Saddam Hussein might have been right. Maybe he should have been a dictator in Iraq. Maybe there's so many tribes, Kurds, Shiites, Sunnis. The only way that you can, the only way that you can control a country like that is to be a dictator. Maybe he's right. That's what he said. Okay. The initial reasons were international resolution about weapons of mass destruction. Don't start telling me that he didn't have any, so we didn't have a right to go to war, because everybody believed that he did. United Nations, Clinton, and Bush. So don't start going down that road either. If we were wrong, we were wrong. But it wasn't just Bush that was wrong, it was Clinton. And by the way, while I'm on the subject of Bill Clinton, the president that I very proudly voted for him twice, and I'm still a voting Democrat. If you want to talk about frivolous and trivial, if you want to talk about Bush playing golf in the middle of a war, what about Bill Clinton getting oral sex from that fat hog in the Oval Office while our country was at risk from Al-Qaeda? While Al-Qaeda was planning the next throat cutting, Bill Clinton is in the Oval Office on the floor with some pig. What do you think of that? Huh? You want to talk to me about trivial and frivolous and not taking the well-being of your country seriously? My president, Mr. Clinton, who I voted for, who, you know what, he could have been one of the greats had he not been utterly stupid when it came to women. And it was the very reason you want to know why Al Gore lost in 2000 was because of Bill Clinton's behavior. But let's talk about that, shall we? You want to talk about President Bush going out and playing a game of golf and then making a comment like, watch this drive, and that's taken to mean that he is absolutely cavalier with the lives of soldiers? What about a guy in the Oval Office with his feet up getting oral sex from that hog while he's on the phone to some ambassador in Africa, and meanwhile Al-Qaeda is plotting the butchering of more Americans? Three times in that man's administration. Three times. Three times while a guy is on the floor in a White House getting shagged by some behemoth. You know what? I'm wasting my freaking breath over here. I'm wasting my breath. I'm not talking as a Republican. I'm talking as a Democrat, if you want to know my damn party affiliation. I'm not sitting on the fence like fat ass saying I didn't vote for Democrats, I didn't vote for Republicans, I'm not in favor of this, and I'm not in favor of that. What are you in favor? Well, I'm in favor of the workers. Well, we know that isn't true, man. Apparently you hate the Writers' freaking Guild, or at least you were trying to get your people not to join it. But what? I'm wasting my damn breath. I've made this point so often, I want to throw up. Weapons of mass destruction, it doesn't make any difference, even if we had the justification. This is a political thing, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. It's too late now, baby. There's no rolling back the clock now. They got Saddam's ass there in front of the Iraqi people. He's going to go up on charges. There's no rolling back the clock. We have stepped through the portal of the future. It is Iraq, and we're on our way, whether you like it or not. I guess we're just going to have to be drugged through, kicking and screaming, but we're going. All right, 1-800-449. Boy, I feel like going out and beating somebody up like I'm a cop tonight.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Los Angeles Police Chief William Bratton called last week's live TV beating of a black car theft suspect by his officers a mess and not what we teach at the police academy, and rising racial tensions in the city over the incident. Rising racial tensions over the incident, huh? You know what I'm going to be tempted to do if there's another riot in L.A.? Well, I don't even want to tell you. I don't even want to tell you. I don't want to give anybody ideas. But I'll tell you what right now. I'll give you this much, okay? Ain't nobody going to pull me out of my car. They're going to get a big surprise. That happens. Now, I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just going to tell you, it's my mood tonight that there is enough, in my opinion, there is enough assumption all of a sudden that you can't get a fair shake in this country anymore, and that somehow magically it's better someplace else, okay? Now, if some cops got out of hand, then they're going to take a look at what those coppers did, and they should throw their asses in jail. If they didn't, then they're going to walk, okay? But this rising racial tension thing, I begin to resent that. Let me tell you why. Are you threatening me with a riot? Is that what you're doing? I mean, in other words, is that what's happening here? Who are these imbeciles that supposedly speak for the black community? What's this dumbass's name that William J. Bratton had to talk to? Some ass with the name of Ali. Just another guy with the name Ali. Just another self-styled Muslim, is that it? I don't even care anymore. Some 36-year-old punk stealing a car, right? And for the trouble, we're threatened with a riot? Is that what you're doing? Are you threatening the city of Los Angeles with a race riot? I just want to be clear. Is there a threat that there is going to be a riot if this thing isn't handled the way some dumbass, self-styled leader in the African-American community thinks it ought to be handled? I just want to be clear. Is that what you're threatening? Because if that's what you're threatening, I'm going to tell you this right now, because I'm in the mood tonight, baby. There isn't anybody going to pull me out of my car. The minute someone tries to get into my car, they're going to get a face full of something that it's the biggest fear they got. The worst day of their life will happen. And I suggest black and white listeners of mine right now, black and white, black, white, yellow, red, whoever, that you carry out the same personal policy. This is not going to be 1992 all over again, where people are left bleeding in the street because gangbangers, punks, scumbags, and every other kind of street garbage who suddenly self-styles himself a revolutionary because of the inappropriate and criminal behavior of some LAPD officers, they're just going to take out their vengeance on innocent citizens, ain't going to happen. Not again. You know that old saying? What's it say? Never again? And a lot of Jewish folks say that about a lot of black folks say, you know, we're not going to let it happen again. Hey, well, guess what? The average law-abiding citizen of Los Angeles is not going to say the same thing. Ain't going to happen again. You ain't going to pull anybody out of a car. There's not going to be any more Reginald Denny's, any more than there should be any more Rodney Kings, or whoever this jackass is that got his poor little noggin punched in by some stupid cop. No, there shouldn't be that either, but I'll give you, I got money, all right? And I'll put the money on the barrelhead right now. If you think for one second that you're going to threaten this city with another race riot because some other stupid jackass who stole a car ran afoul of another dumb L.A. cop, you know as well as I do that justice will be served. If it doesn't turn out the way you think it ought to turn out, well, that's just too damn bad, isn't it? You're just going to have to suck on that one. And if it turns out the way you want it to turn out, then that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending upon my point of view. But the facts are these. There will not be another race riot in this city that isn't going to come down to some very, very serious, serious ramification, because it's just not going to be another people getting pulled out of their cars party. And if that means that motorists have to start packing, that's what they're going to do. And if that means you're going to get a face full of gun if you try to pull somebody's car door open and you get a face full of 9mm, well, that's what you're going to get. And if the cops can't protect people down there like they couldn't protect anybody during 1992, well, then the American people, the Los Angeles citizenry will have to do it for themselves. This is why I've often said, what's wrong with gun ownership again? Especially in a society like this one? Are you trying to tell me something? That it doesn't make sense to own a gun, to know how to operate a weapon, and to protect yourself and your family? It's a constitutionally protected right, and you're trying to tell me that there's something wrong? Now I got some stupid jackass on line three that's going to tell me riots are a fight for justice. Let's just see what a brain surgeon we have here. What's your name, Jason?
Jason is my name.
Yeah, go right ahead and tell me all about how you see this.
Okay, I mean, I listen to you when you tell me that, hey, if there's another riot, somebody's going to get a big surprise if they come up to my car.
You got that right, yeah. Anything you want to know about, anything, any clarification you need on that?
But yet and still.
Do you need any clarification on that, first of all?
Yeah, sure, if you want to clarify it.
Okay, let me clarify it. Okay, I'm driving down the street, some jackass pulls my car door open, I will shoot that son of a bitch in the face. Anything else?
And you would be 100% wrong for doing that. Would you?
No, I would not be 100% wrong. In the middle of a riot situation, are you stupid or something that somebody is pulling my car door open while the citizens are running crazy on the street? Do you think if Reginald Denny had a piece, he shouldn't have used it that day when he got a brick that caved the side of his head in?
Okay, well, let me ask you
this. No. You answer that question. Are you trying to tell me that man's supposed to take a brick to his head and not defend himself?
No, that's absolutely wrong. But you know what is just as wrong as? It's just as wrong as that cop beating that black guy down like he didn't have any sense. Those
Bill
guys
crap.
Are trained to do a
I'm
job.
I'm defending
and they
myself.
Need to do the
if
job
that
correctly.
Man had gotten up and defended himself, perhaps he... You know something? You are telling me that I have no right to defend myself. That's what you're telling me.
No. What
yes,
I am
that's
telling...
exactly what you're telling me. It, because you're saying it's wrong, morally wrong for me to defend myself. I'm just as bad as a cop beating an unarmed man.
You know what? Any use of violence, first of all, we have established is wrong. Am I correct?
No, we haven't established that.
Well, we need to establish it.
Wait a minute. I just want to be clear now. Malcolm X said, if those crackers put one finger on Martin Luther King when he walks through Selma this weekend, I'm going down there with a gun. I totally agreed with that statement. When I read it and I reread it, he had enough of innocent people who were pacifists being victimized. He says, I'm not a pacifist. I own a gun. And
no
I will
way.
Go down and I will shoot anyone who is trying to hurt those marchers. He said it when they bombed his home. If I had had a gun, I would have gone after the first person I saw. He said, thank God I didn't have one.
Phil, but you know what? You say that that it would be wrong of you or of anybody to have a, if we had this riot, okay, like you said, we're threatening with the riot.
I think it's a threat on the citizenry of Los Angeles, the black and white citizens of this city, to say there may be a riot because racial tensions are rising over this thing. That is a threat, and you know what? We need to respond to that threat by saying we're not going to get dragged out of our cars again.
Okay, but what do you suggest people do when they're...
Here's what I suggest. If I'm trying to commute to my job... And I, as hard as it may be for some people to believe, maybe I'm not a perfect man, but I haven't lynched anybody lately in my life. Maybe I'm not a perfect man and I don't have the milk of human kindness running through my veins, but I haven't fired anybody from a job because they're black. I'm just trying to get from point A to point B. I'm a man doing a job, like Reginald Denny was. And I get pulled out of my car by some garbage, gang-banging, unemployed street scum, and they're going to get some payback because LAPD did this and that. Well, guess what? It isn't going to happen this time.
I mean, it's easy
I'm
going to
take
label.
That. I'll take that gat label. Out of my glove box, and I will kill somebody before I get killed. And I'm not kidding you.
You know, I mean,
and you're telling me that suddenly is somehow an irresponsible statement when what would be more responsible is for them to pull me out of my car and beat me within an inch of my life.
No. What would be responsible is to stay out of an area that's like that. First of all,
I'm a working man. What am I supposed to do? You tell me, don't work.
I still think that if somebody's, first of all, there's other ways, there's other routes to get to where it is that you have to go. If something happens within the city that's wrong and people uprise against it, just like they did at the Boston Tea Party, where they grabbed all their things, I'm sure a few of those tax collectors felt like shooting somebody in the head too.
You know, when there's a cause,
respect the cause, Phil.
The cause is not pulling people out of their car and beating them to death. What do you think happened in Los Angeles in 1992? The cause, I would respect it if they were respecting people's lives. They took innocent people. Some of them were beaten within an inch of their lives. Some of them were killed. Rodney King's still walking around like the dumbass that he is, isn't he?
He is a dumbass.
Okay,
he
so,
is a dumbass.
So let me ask you something.
But even though he's a dumbass, he represents a people, okay? He might
no,
be
he
a
doesn't.
Dumbass, but
no,
he
doesn't.
Beaten.
No, he doesn't.
You know what? I doubt that if Rodney King was white, that he would have received that beating.
You know that there's a group of African Americans who have sued Jesse Jackson for misrepresenting them. Have you heard about it? They have
no,
said
I haven't.
They have said basically this: where do you get off representing me? Who said who said you're my leader? And when you say that Rodney King represents a people, he is a symbol, or what happened to him
exactly.
is a symbol of what's happened to people. I don't think that guy represents. I don't think he represents.
Exactly.
He couldn't represent his own ass. But what happened to him is a symbol of what's happened to black people. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm not going to stand by if I have to, like that one guy who had to drive his truck through that melee. He was dropping off a load of freight. What the hell is the guy supposed to do? All of a sudden, he's caught in the middle of this. Maybe
but
he didn't turn the radio on that day.
You know what? If in Compton, a black guy, a white guy was totally beat like that. And then there was some kind of big riot. I wonder if it would be the same precedence as a black guy being beat in a white neighborhood. There's a difference there. I mean, I understand what it is you're saying. Defend yourself, by all means. But understand the cause and understand why the people are rioting.
Wait a minute, man. You don't have to educate me. Like, I understand totally. I get the... Look, I don't know how old you are, man. I was around for the Watts riots. I remember as a young man, I saw my father putting a gun in the glove box and wondering what the hell is going on. Because he had to go and work down on Beverly. He had to go down and work on Beverly, okay? He had to drive through the crap. I remember Watts. I remember the post-Watts era, the Reconstruction, the Black Pride. I remember Watts stacks. The whole period...
Did your father understand that it was wrong?
I don't know what my dad... My father was a Canadian national who moved here to become an American. I don't know what the hell he got. I do know that he was a man of... He tried to be a fair man. What I grew up learning about African Americans was that it was definitely a part of our history that we needed to face and we needed to somehow reconcile. However, having said all of that, I'm not going to stand by and be threatened with civil disturbance. That you talk about a revolution. This isn't a revolution. It's a bunch of slobs that are trying to take advantage of a situation.
That's totally wrong, bro.
Oh, come on, man. You can't tell me that pulling random motorists out of their cars is some kind of a revolutionary act. You can't. That's like those people who went up and gunned down that woman in that bank back in 75. You try to tell me an innocent man pulled from his car, beaten bloody. You say that's a great heroic act?
So you say, look.
No. I mean,
talking about, look, me and you both agree on this. Jesse Jackson is not the black leader.
I ain't saying he's a bad man.
Who's going to put together an organized response for black people?
I'm not saying Jesse Jackson's a bad leader. I'm just saying be careful when you say a guy represents something, because there was a group of African-American businessmen that said he didn't represent me. I do not think it does service to anybody to say he's a black leader or a white leader. I'll tell you, this country needs leaders. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about white and black leaders. We need heroes. We need leaders. And we need somebody to say, you coppers at LAPD and that freaking police academy, I don't know how you're training these guys, and I frankly don't know, and neither do you, what happened on the ground that caused that cop to do what he did. Did he perceive a threat? Have we seen an investigation of this? Do we know what the police commission has said? What's going on with this thing?
But you know what?
Nobody knows, but all of a sudden they're threatening me with a riot anyway.
I used to work at a group home with children that were underprivileged, and sometimes they got out of control. But it didn't give us the right to put their heads through the wall.
I think
when you're trying to do a job,
you should have beaten them with a flashlight. You should have beaten them.
Come on.
With a flashlight and a length of garden hose. No, it's a lot of fun.
Let's have some sense.
All right, I'm kidding. I think you made a lot of good sense, sir. I have to take a break, though.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye. 1-800-449. See, we're friends. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On our show yesterday, Don Berman, the great anchor of Channel 19's news at 11 or 10 or 5 or whatever the hell it is, he was on to talk about a feature they're doing. A hidden camera went into a bowling alley, and guess what they caught? They caught the shoe sizes are on the backs of all the bowling shoes you rent. Do you realize that by publishing a man's shoe size, you're basically saying that's how big his thing is? Well, that's just reprehensible, according to Don and the Newsbeat team. Here's Don Berman.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I've been on bowling leagues for the last 17 years, three different leagues in three different states, and I have never heard this before, ever. My daughters have bowled with me as well, and I'm sitting here with them, and they have never heard anything like this before.
Well, it is something that is beginning to... It's being talked about by a lot of the bowling alley proprietors that are a little bit more, I don't know what you want to say, Phil, ethical, I suppose, or saying, you know, it is indecent to be publishing these shoe sizes on the back of the shoe.
I do not think. I don't know where...
You're not offended. You're not offended by this graphic information being...
This is the first I have ever heard of, and I have bowled with men and women. I have never seen a woman get offended by the size of a man's shoe. And in fact, as a woman who's been married twice, I can tell you from my experience, there's very little correlation between a man's feet and anything else.
Well, but the fact is, whether it's true or not, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it happens to be true in my case. The fact is...
We didn't need to know that.
I'm sorry?
We didn't need to know that. Why did you say that? See, that's what I'm talking about, Doug. Or Don, the fact that you are using... See, right away, you said, well, in my case, it's true.
No, I... More and more people are aware, whether it's true or not, Maureen, as you say, that they're talking about it.
No, well, I think
it may not be true. It may not be true. And a young man who goes up and says, could I have a size 6 shoe, and people snicker about it, I'm saying, why put him through it?
What I'm saying to you is, in 17 years, 3 different states, 3 different bowling leagues, having 3 teenage daughters that have bowled with me, not once have I ever seen a young man be laughed at or followed around or anything to do with his feet. It probably had to do with his body or his face but never his feet.
You're a woman, and I'm trying to be as respectful as I can. If you see a man rent a size 14 shoe, that doesn't arch an eyebrow or get you interested?
Let me tell you something. Geez. I spent 12 years in the United States Navy. I've been married twice. I have 3 children. And no, I have never... All I think is big feet, big socks.
Big... Did she say S-U?
No, she did not. She said socks.
Socks. Big feet, big socks.
Could you repronounce that word?
She said socks. I heard her very clearly.
Socks. You know, that things you put on your feet. Socks.
Is that starting with an S or...
Yes, socks.
Ma'am, check into any bowling. You know what? If you check into any bowling alley, though, ma'am, you know who has the most teams. Women. What does that say to you? What is that saying to you? And more importantly, what is that saying to your daughters? Channel 19 News
what
is going to look into
that. It says to me that we like bowling and we do it as a family.
Well, I think that with our Channel 19 News report, both at 5 and 11 o'clock, you're going to see something a little bit more than that. And it comes,
well,
and it comes,
probably,
and you know what, our report comes
that
in an
idea
extra
in
line.
Somebody's head.
Well,
but
I
I'm
can
telling
tell
you that I have never
right.
heard of this before,
well, our,
and I have bowled with women for the last 17 years, and not once has anybody made a comment about anybody's feet.
I can tell you that our 11 o'clock report will unveil some interesting things, and that 11 o'clock report, by the way, comes...
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on Monday, it's the Top 100 Calls of the Year, our annual 4th of July show. This will be our third annual Top 100 Calls of the Year, and it's going to be a great one. And as I said, we'll count down 100 of the best calls over the last year, give or take about 99. No, not 99, but we've... You can't stick 100 calls into a 3-hour show, get it? But there's going to be a lot, tons and tons and tons. And these will reflect what we consider to be the top calls of the year, and then we'll count it down to number one. It'll be like one of them things, you know, big time count it down show. Also, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. So anyway, I was telling you this morning, NBC, first of all, the Saddam Hussein trial was covered by ABC, which had Peter Jennings in the courtroom, I believe. CBS covered it with Dan Rather, at least somewhere in Baghdad. But NBC, which is far more typical, I think, of the way the broadcast and the print news industries have dealt with the Iraq war and its ramifications, NBC didn't go to the trial at all. They had Katie Couric demonstrating badminton technique. Now, it's bad enough having to see her get a colonoscopy, but to see her... No, in other words, they had her doing something stupid when they should have been covering the news, I guess. I don't know. What is the news? According to them, they made a mistake. No, they didn't make any mistake. They made a conscious decision, and the decision was this. Well, it's Iraq, and the American people are not really compelled by this Saddam Hussein story. The American people are not compelled to the point where they want to see Saddam Hussein getting some semblance of justice meted out to him, because the American people are really negative toward this entire operation, and they're more suspect of Bush's motives, and therefore we're not going to cover it because it couldn't possibly have an audience. Well, guess what? Yeah, I guess if they made a mistake, the mistake was this. They got the wrong guy calling the shots. They got a guy by the name of... What's his name? Tom Douche? No, I'm not kidding. That's what it says. Tom what?
That's what you wrote.
It says Tom, T-O-U-C-H-E, oh, Touche. Tom Touche, who's the executive jackball there at the NBC Today show, said, oh, well, gee, if I'd known people were actually interested in Iraq, here's what's going on. There is a misconception that America's indecision about Iraq translates into a true ambivalent, like, I don't really care. They think there's an apathy toward justice being meted out to Saddam, and that the real interest is, what did Bush know when he knew it? And this whole conspiratorial paranoia based out of hallucination and total just seeing ghosts in the dark, right? They think that's where it's at for Americans. They don't get what I believe is going on. What I believe is happening is the American people are very compelled by the story in Iraq. They're undecided as to whether it's been successful. They're undecided as to whether they should begin to give kudos or whether they should just take Bush out of office in November and put Kerry in. American people are undecided. It doesn't mean they're not compelled. The American people need more education. It doesn't mean that they're not interested. The American people are looking for more information. It doesn't mean that they're apathetic. But the broadcast media and the print media in this country has read it the wrong way. It's the same thing as like when they thought Howard Dean was all this and a striped suit too, baby. They thought Dean was the man. And when he got his ass kicked in Iowa and then basically flushed down the John two elections later, they didn't get it, man. They had him on the cover of every magazine. They thought he was the Beau Brummel. They thought he was the revolutionary. They thought this guy was going to lead the charge. Howard Dean's about as popular as a particularly sulfuric egg fart inside of a submarine. They didn't want him around. They blew it, baby. They blew it, and they continue to blow it. They blew the story in Iraq, not the way they think. They didn't cover the story in Iraq. They still aren't covering the story in Iraq. They think now they're getting it right. Now we understand we were being fooled by the Bush administration. We should have really been getting the real story. They ain't getting the real story yet. Then they come on back home here to the States. They take a look at the American people. They start skewing the news to make up for the fact that they were too stupid to cover the war in the right place, the right way the first place. So now they begin to read into the story an apathy on the part of the American people as to Iraqis, as to the future of Iraq and Iraqis. And instead, they believe the American people are more compelled by the so-called mismoves or mismanagement of Bush. Wrong, 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 baby. You couldn't have been more wrong. And NBC put their cards on the table this morning. They had Katie Couric standing out there with a glass of Kool-Aid and Don Meredith there with the Lipton iced tea. And she's got on a little sundress and a badminton thing, and she's whacking it around. She's whacking it. And guess what? Everybody else is showing Saddam sitting there in his nice pressed white starch shirt. He looked like a homeless man. He looked like a freaking hobo. Saddam Hobo Hussein. We got to start calling him Hobo Hussein. Hi, kids. It's the Hobo Hussein Show. And coming up next, Chemical Ali with some magic tricks. Katie Couric is getting $60 million over 8 years, man. You know what? I guess I'd have her hitting that badminton thing around, too. Screw it. Well, what are you talking about? I don't give a damn, man. $60 million? What is it, $60 million over 8 years? So what does that come down to? Somewhere in the neighborhood of like $8 million? Yeah, it's around $8.5 million, okay? She's getting $8.5 million a year. I say she goes out, hits the badminton thing. We got a story going in her. I don't give a sweet crap about a story in Iraq. Get her out there in that badminton skirt and get her out there now. Look, you guys, I want to get out there, Katie. Well, you can't do this. You're making $8.5 million a year. You better believe I can make you do it. And while you're at it, make me some coffee. Now get out and hit that badminton thing. I don't want to do it. I had a colonoscopy. I don't care. Get out and do it. Hit it. Hit it.
I'm Katie Couric's agent. I don't think...
Oh, really? Are you her agent? Well, congratulations. You can sit down and watch. Go ahead, baby.
You know, add in your serve. Here we go.
Well, why don't you go to Iraq? Because you have reporters on... Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you to Iraq and cover it. $8.5 million a year. I'm going to stick you in a helmet. I'm going to put you in a Kevlar vest. I'm going to put you in the top of a half track. And I want you going out there looking for chemical freaking Ali himself. $8.5 million a year. You better believe we went to her playing badminton. Well, don't you think this was a mismanagement of the news? No, I do not. No, I do not, man. I'd rather have her out there doing anything. She could be showing us how to pluck nose hair for all I care for $8.5 million. Well, you really are concentrating on the money. Yeah. Uh-huh. They're dusting the hot seat off for me, man. Mo Zucker thinks he's going to take this gig over again. He's going to put in another window. Who knows? We'll have like two windows of white trash instead of just one. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And here is Bill. Hello, Bill. Bill? Oh, no, it ain't Bill. Hold on. I got to get the Bill here. Hiya, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Thanks. Fine,
for having
thank
me
you.
On.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I wanted to comment on your last caller before the big break, the gentleman that was talking about, you know, talking with you about, you know, the blacks were showing their support and you shouldn't be having the right to defend yourself and all that. Well, I was involved in Ground Zero in law enforcement back in 92, and we were part of defending that Ground Zero there. Well, my question to you is, what about the black-on-black rioting? They were rioting their own people's stores, breaking out the windows, taking things, and all we could do is sit back and watch.
Well, I don't know what you guys were doing, but I'll tell you this. Like I said to that guy, I'm talking about, and I was specific, law-abiding citizens, black or white, who need to do business in that part of town and are caught up in that melee. I agree with him. Avoid the area if you can. If I know there's a riot going on down there, no, I'm not going to go down and make sure I deliver the Xerox paper for Mr. Feenburn, okay? Get down there, Phil, and deliver the Xerox and make sure all the No. But if I'm down there like that poor Reginald Denny, that poor clown, he's in the middle, and I say clown with all due respect, the guy's in the middle of trying to drop a load of freight off, and he's got these guys surrounding him. Guy pulls the door open on me, and with all due respect to LAPD, but, you know, you guys were rather ineffective, and I suppose I understand why. I don't know, you know. Fact of the matter remains, you know what? I am telling the law-abiding citizens of Los Angeles, black and white, we have a constitutional right to pack, and nobody's pulling a door open on me and pulling me out and beating me half to death like they did in 92. And if we're being threatened with another race riot and the Los Angeles police cannot protect us for whatever reason, by God, we have a right to protect ourselves. And I don't know whether I'm saying I'm putting the rioters on notice. I'm telling my fellow citizens who abide the law, don't let yourself get pulled out of a freaking car.
And you know, one thing, if you noticed, we did not bother the Korean businessmen that were protecting their own stores with weapons. We
right.
left them alone. They were more effective than we were, and I hate to say that.
Well, they were. And you know what? They're not going to let their business go up. And they had every right in the world, too. And I'm the first guy to criticize the way some of the Koreans have sort of barged into that community and not really felt the community out. I understand. But by the same token, it doesn't entitle a guy to go in there and commit homicide or burn a guy out. And, you know, the cops, I hope that Chief Bratton's got a better game plan than Gates did. I'm just saying, if these guys are threatening this city with another riot, it ain't going to be 92 again.
Well, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
So I totally agree with
yeah.
you. And just one last thing, too. As far as Katie Kirk and her $8.75 million a year, send her over Iraq, and you're right. Have her trim nose hair. Let her earn her wages.
Well, I like her in a little badminton skirt, you know, when it's appropriate. Okay,
yeah.
Bill, thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
Goodbye. What did he call me, Chris? He thought he was talking to Pelton. No, you know, I don't think that, I don't think what I'm saying is wrong. I'm saying law-abiding citizens, black and white. And when we talk about African-American citizens, many of them live and work in that area, more so than, say, white citizens, and they're even more entitled to have a gun with them and, if need be, use it. So if we're being threatened, and when I say we, I mean black, white, red, yellow, brown, law-abiding citizens of this city, if we're getting threatened with a race riot, this, you know, this racial tensions are heightened, you know what that's supposed to be, you know what that's code for, don't you? Oh, well, excuse me, am I pissing somebody off? Well, guess what, you pissed me off a little bit. Racial tensions are heightening, and it could explode? You want to see explode? Try another riot. You'll see explode. Try pulling the door open on another law-abiding citizen in this town. Watch what happens. The last thing you see, man, is going to be the barrel of something. I don't know what. Might be a small cannon. Might be a little .22. Who knows? Definitely, it's going to mess your day up. Now, I recommend that. I'm not saying that you have to. I agree with that last gentleman. Avoid the area if you can. But by all means, folks, you have every right in the world to defend yourself. And by God, the days are over of getting pulled out of your car. The days should be over of cops beating people senseless. Obviously, there's something wrong with the way we're training police officers, if indeed anything was done illegal. See, I don't even know if that's the case. Nobody wants to even address that. They just want to start threatening race riot. But no more. We got a constitutional right to carry a weapon. You got every right in the world to defend yourself. And if you're driving through an area where there are people rioting and they think they're going to pull a car door open and you're going to rely on the milk of human kindness like somebody's, well, I'm going to take pity on you. Hey, just remember what I heard the last time a riot broke out in this town. I heard some guy on a videotape saying, no mercy, man, no pity. Really? Okay, try pulling a freaking car door open on people now. I recommend you carry a gun, folks. I recommend it. It is your right. Take weapon safety, learn how to use it, carry it. And if a rioter tries to get into your car, disabuse him of the notion as rapidly as you can. One other thing. I know we got a break. I'm going to tell you something. Do you know why cops fire more than one round into a suspect? Do you know why? Do you know why Bruce Springsteen wrote his song, 42 Shots, you know, about the poor man that was shot in New York? See, Bruce wrote that song. He didn't get why there were 42 shots. All right. Maybe they didn't need to fire 42 shots. Do you know why cops fire more than one round? Because there's a lot of dead cops today who assume that after they fired one round, they had to pull the weapon back and assess the situation. That's what they were taught. Assess the situation. And in assessing the situation, they got killed. Because you can put a slug into some guys, it isn't going to stop them. That's why they just go ahead, they empty the freaking clip. I'm going to assume, and if you're trying to tell me I'm wrong, well, then I think that you need help. I'm going to assume that when I'm driving through a neighborhood and a guy pulls the car door open on me, that he intends to do me grievous harm, even kill me. I will assume that, and I will act accordingly. So don't tell me that it's overkill or that I may be advising people to do something that is too much, you know, firepower for the situation. Some guy pulls me out of my car, tries to, in the middle of a hostile riot situation, I'm going to assume the worst. I don't know that cat. Okay, 1-800, unless it looks like Mark Newman. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, they got some kind of a space vehicle floating around Saturn right now. Get a load of that. And they didn't even want this thing blasted off in 1997 because it had plutonium fuel. They were afraid that if it blowed up, it would just infect and radiate all the folks along the east coast of Florida. Not that that would necessarily be a bad thing or even not improves the situation there dramatically, but they didn't want it to happen anyway. Can you imagine irradiating all those fine people on the east coast of Florida? I mean, I'm not knocking them, but a little radiation might clean the beach up a little bit. That's all I'm saying. It might knock a little bit of, might knock the IQ points up a little higher of some of the bartenders along the coast there, especially in Daytona Beach, if you'll forgive me, which I know you won't, like I care. So they didn't want it to blast off because it was going to blow up and make everybody into a freaky-looking one-eyed Martian because it was going to be Radiation City. Well, guess what? It didn't blow up. Now it's orbiting Saturn. I think it's pretty cool, and I'll make you another prediction. I think we are the highest form of intelligence out there. Why couldn't we be? I didn't say that we're alone. Well, I think it's really egotistical to think that we're the only people. No, I'm sure that there are others, but I think we are the highest level of intelligence. Well, how do you figure that? Well, how do you figure we're not? Well, there's got to be some. No, there doesn't have to be. There's probably a lot of cats out there that look like monkeys and are walking around in loincloths. I think we're it, man. We're state of the art. We are the highest level that any humanoid, biped has reached. Maybe everybody else got it wrong. Maybe all the other planets screwed up. Maybe they're the ones that destroyed themselves. Maybe we're going to be the guys that are orbiting planets, observing things, and saying, look at them. I think they're all wrong. We have to transport Captain Kirk down there. But remember the non-interference doctrine, or whatever the crap that is. Spock, get off. Quit breathing on me. Spock, quit breathing that clam sauce on me. Captain, I'd like to... I said quit breathing the clam sauce on me. So we're out there in Saturn, and I don't know what the hell we're going to do. Look, there's nothing inhabited within thousands of light years from here. There is no intelligent life that's close to us. I'm not saying that there isn't any. And we're not going to meet Klingons, man. It's going to be well beyond our lifetime before any of us even takes a ride on a spaceship. Dig that. Hey, Chris, how old are you, man?
14.
Okay. I bet you think you're going to go to the moon or something like that, don't you?
Absolutely.
Forget it. I thought I was going to the moon when I was 14. Here I am, 51, eating pizza and drinking Cokes and smoking cigarettes, and I still ain't been to the moon. I'll never get there, and neither will you. You know why? Because we're not as quick on this space thing as we thought we were. You're not going, dude.
I'm going to go. You'll see.
How will I see?
Yeah. You'll be long gone.
I'll
by
be
then.
Dead, man. I'll be moldering in a hole in the ground, worm food, when you're sitting there in a rocket going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, and suddenly... Oops. I just don't think we got this space thing down at all. It's fine with me. I mean, I think that we're doing it very slow and sure. You know, we're checking out Saturn. Took a little snaps of Mars. Nothing there. That face on Mars doesn't exist. Oh, man. Thank God they finally got that one squared away. Remember that face staring back from Mars? And they finally got an up-close picture of it? It's a freaking mountain. What do you think is on Saturn, huh? Cream cheese? Maybe cotton candy. Anyway, I believe we're the highest form of intelligence there is in the universe. And as such, maybe we do have an agreement with God. I'll be right back. I'm Catherine Coleman. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yesterday we had an interesting call from Andrew Chase, a journalist, a Canadian living in the United States. He has resident status in the United States, but because he's a Canadian, he resented being fingerprinted at the border. He said, I'm a Canadian. I'm like an American. Why would you fingerprint me like you do Mexicans? Well, it prompted some rather... vitriolic response like this one.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'll tell you what. I'm from Canada. I'm a resident alien in the United States. I've been here for almost 12 years.
Did you get fingerprinted?
I love this country with my heart.
You got fingerprinted.
I have never heard so much nonsense out of one individual's mouth that's coming out of your guest's mouth tonight. And don't try and bamboozle me with your profiling yourself.
No, you're profiling
racist. You, and I'll tell you what, if you come to this land of opportunity and you're not paying the kind of taxes you were paying in Canada, if you don't like it here, get your fat ass out of here.
Why should I leave my country?
People like you down here. You and the Michael Moore type are destroying the rest of us. There's not many countries in this world that you're allowed the kind of freedom so you can mouth off like you're mouthing off now and get away with it. I'm ashamed of you if you're a Canadian. I'm totally ashamed of you. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Is the hook? May I speak for the hook?
By the way,
okay,
I'd like to say to
speak,
Rick...
but don't try any of this nonsense you've tried with other speakers.
Well, Rick, I appreciate what you're saying, just as the host of the show.
Will the host allow me to speak?
Go ahead.
First of all, Rick, how does it feel to be a traitor? Secondly...
How is he a traitor?
He said he's a Canadian. He says he's a Canadian. What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you what. You know what? I know so many people like you... You're nothing but a bunch of closet cowards that can come up with all this nonsense of profiling, racist profiling against other people, using names like traitor. I'm still a Canadian. I love Canada, and I love the United States, and I love where I live.
Well, then
you should be ashamed, man.
Why don't they allow us to come into this country without fingerprinting us like we're Mexicans?
That's oh, like, don't be so ridiculous.
I bet you still drink Moosehead.
I don't. Come on, will you? I drink Rona all the time.
Having
your fingerprints is just a way of... You try going to Canada with that open-door policy they've got, letting every indigent into that country. When you have Vancouver turned over to the Asian races, tell me what's going on. The country doesn't even have any screening to let people in. A lot of the terrorists that come down here, these cells, are from Canada and get their things put together in Canada and bring them across the border.
Well, that's
so don't tell me about being a traitor. You're a traitor by talking against Canada the way you are. You're sickening, man. You make me sick to my stomach.
That's why I'm trying to get out of Vancouver. There's too many of the Orientals there.
Wait a second. Now you don't like Orientals, so you want to come to America. You don't want to be fingerprinted, but you think Orientals ought to be fingerprinted. Do you like living in Canada?
I love Canada.
But you don't like the Orientals.
You know, both you and Rick have done something very traditional. Michael Moore warned us about people like you. When he said
Michael Moore should be warning himself about the buffet he sits at every night with the money he's making from the propaganda he slings at this country.
Listen, Rick, when you smuggled yourself into the U.S. 12 years ago as a free ride, I bet they would strip search you now. How would that feel, having a flashlight up your thing? I don't think.
Well, I'll tell you what. You probably know all about that because you're trying to find every cheap trick in the book
to get in here.
To get in here. That's right.
Well,
and I'll tell you what. I go back and forth across the border all the time. I have more hassle at the Canadian border than I do at the American border. So don't give me this malarkey about coming across and getting fingerprinted. If you're a free man. What the hell do you have to worry about?
I can't believe
if you're not. You probably have a record. That's why you're being fingerprinted all the time.
So you think this man's funny?
Yeah, I think he's saying some very funny things.
You know, I can't believe I'm having to explain this. As a Canadian, I'm the closest thing to an American there is. I'm much closer to being American than many of the Orientals that you'll find. And to fingerprint me at the border violates my constitutional rights. And
you don't have no constitutional rights, dude, at the freaking border before you get in here.
You know, you sound like a moron, Mr. Henry, and...
So now I'm a moron. Now I'm an idiot, huh?
Dude, you don't have no... How did you get into the United States, Rick, as a roadie for guess who?
All right.
Guess who?
Yeah.
No, I actually played with the guess who, you moron.
And what do you mean by played with?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Did he really play with the guess who? Maybe that was a member of the guess who. And we're sitting here messing around with him? When we could be getting, like, free tickets and stuff for stuff? The Guess Who was good. Like, Rain Dance, Undone, Lion, Laughing. That was the tune. These Eyes, that was a bitchin' tune. And that other one they did that I liked. No Sugar Tonight. That tune was awesome. The Guess Who. Oh, and then they did a version of Shaking All Over that was an ass kicker, which The Who later covered, and it was, like, Guess Who's version was better. Was it The Who or The Guess? The Who. Guess Who. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So there you have it. That is Andrew Chase living here in the States. And it's a tough, tough life, baby. 1-800-449-8686. Our souvenir shop is located at www.philhenryshow.com. If you listen to a lot of the bits and things we do in our show, we have an awful lot of merchandise in our souvenir shop that is directly from many of your favorite people that you've heard appear on the Phil Henry Show. For instance, Bobby Dooley was on tonight. Did you know that the Western Estates Homeowners Association has a beautiful Bobby Dooley-designed spa robe? It's a beautiful, I don't even want to call it terry cloth, because there's something even better than that. But if you're a husband and your wife likes to wear that spa robe thing, you know, with the hood and burn candles and, you know, rub herself down with patchouli oil, that kind of a deal, get her one of these spa robes. Also, the Western Estates tote bag, you can carry anything you need. It's almost like a big beach bag, something you can put beach towels in. You can put suntan lotion in it. You can throw in magazines, and it's the Western Estates tote bag. It's made out of canvas. Speaking of the beach, we have our 16-can cooler, which is the official Phil Henry Show cooler. This has an AM-FM detachable radio. And when I say detachable, it zips on and off. The bag itself is made out of vinable? Wow. Where did you get that word?
I don't know.
viable is unbelievable. I haven't heard anything, so retardation.
I'm sorry, Ed, I just...
Vinable? What were you trying to say?
I guess I was trying to say it's got a vinyl... I don't know.
Vinable. What you made out of, Phil? Vinable.
All right, did you get your kicks already? Are you
Vinable.
Okay, you done?
No.
Oh, you still got more?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Ha ha, you said vinable, ha ha.
Well, then it ain't funny anymore, so bug off. Anyway, it's got a vinyl interior, and it has everything zips and unzips.
Kind of like pants.
Right, kind of like pants. And other things, too, are Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt, which my son Chris is wearing this evening. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
All right,
thanks a lot. So there is the souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Of course, I was just sitting there talking to Mr. Newman. The really good news is that in a week or so, the camp starts in the National Football League, preseason in August, and then, thank you, Jesus, the NFL season returns. Yes, of course, the players are all scum, but the game itself lives on. Can't wait, baby. Can't wait for the NFL season. It's a game that is interesting to follow. It is a thinking man's game. It contains, as I said, the best elements of American society: real estate, violence, war, and chess. Real estate, violence, well, war and violence. Real estate, war, and chess. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Michael or Matthew. Matthew, hello.
Hi, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Excellent. I called you tonight because I have a problem with what you're saying about John Kerry in reference to when you speak of John Kerry, you want to know what he's going to do in specific situations. In other words, what he's going to do about the war, what he's going to do about this specifically. And
well, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example, or maybe I preempted you. I'm sorry, but let's say he believes that, as he said, Bush has destroyed 3 million jobs. And that he, John Kerry, will not only restore those jobs, but he will increase those. Correct?
Okay.
Right. Now, God forbid something befall his presidency like 9/11. What that did was essentially destroy the forward momentum of some industries for at least 2 years. The airline industry still hasn't recovered. The tourism industry still hasn't recovered. Jobs went away at the drop of a hat like you wouldn't believe. Not only that, the stock market took a 1,400-point hit. We had a $1 trillion hit to our economy. Now, while we're in the middle of all these marvelous things that John Kerry's going to do, what's he going to do to hold on to jobs if we suffer a hit like 9/11?
Well, this is my point, Phil, is that Bush did not have to deal with that, okay? Bush was simply in the position, and he's acting.
Didn't have to deal with.
Let me restate that.
Right.
Okay, Bush simply has to deal with it because this is the situation that Bush has to deal with.
Yeah, no other president, by the way, has ever had to deal with this situation.
And I understand
it's pretty,
that. And all
it's
I'm
pretty interesting
is that,
that this man has been thrown into this situation that no other president in the history of the human freaking race has had to.
And all I'm saying is that if Kerry was allowed the opportunity to be put in the same position, you have no idea what he's going to do.
I'm asking you. He won't do anything.
But you don't know that.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've looked at his plan. He has no plan, no contingency for a terror strike that would destroy trillions of dollars economically and jobs. He has no contingency.
And what was Bush's contingency plan?
What was his contingency plan? It's what he did. It was right there in black and white. Excuse me, Matthew. I don't know whether you read newspapers or whether you wait the last 2 years.
I listen to you.
Well, then what was his plan? You're looking at it.
No, but Bush had no plan.
Wait a minute. What was his plan? You asked? 9/11
I'm
hit.
Telling you that before 9/11 Bush was elected, this was not the discussion.
You know, I can't freaking believe I got to talk to you people. Did you go to grade school?
This was not the discussion before Bush was elected. Before Bush
it
was
doesn't
elected,
make any difference.
An
the man was faced with... Hey, Matthew,
happened.
I don't know what kind of life you've been living, but sometimes life throws us curveballs, okay?
Hey,
it doesn't just go along
that.
The
and
way
all
it's
I'm
supposed
saying
to
is
go
that
along.
Bush handled this curveball well. He's done well. But all I'm saying is that this was not an option. This was not something that was discussed prior to Bush being elected.
He could have... Wait a second. Wait a minute. Hold on. Did it happen? Did 9/11 happen?
It happened.
John Kerry
happened,
now has...
It was not
John Kerry
prior
now,
to Bush being elected.
Oh, my
elected.
God. Will you get lost? I'm telling you, it's enough to make me want to walk out of here and quit. I mean, just quit this job once and for all. I am so frustrated, I can't even see straight. It wasn't discussed. John Kerry has the ability because it has happened. John Kerry has seen it happen, so he can make contingency plans. Bush, it wasn't discussed, so Bush just did what he did. But John Kerry, he didn't have it. What? Is that guy for real? What the hell's good? Is this country really got a fighting chance? I ask you. You know what? I don't think so. Between Fat Ass and his movie, and people asking questions like that, John Kerry had the, you know, didn't know that 9/11 was going to happen, but I guess it did happen. It wasn't discussed before George Bush was elected, so he did. Well, it's being discussed now, isn't it? It's already happened. 9/11 happened, so John Kerry knows that 9/11's a possibility. Now, what is his contingency should we be hit with another terrorist activity? I'd like to know what that is. Since he knows that it's possible, since it's happened, since he knows it's on the horizon. What is his plan should trillions of dollars go away in the economy in the flash of a building going down? What is his plan to keep growing jobs? I still don't know what it is, and you want to know why? Because there isn't one. Well, what was President Bush's plan? Well, you're looking at it, because the cat didn't know 9/11 was going to happen. He didn't have the hindsight that John Kerry's got. He had it dropped in the middle of his freaking lap, thanks to the Clinton administration, if you want me to be small-minded about it, which I'm not, but if that's the road we want to travel, you know, if you want to start blaming people, which I don't want to do. In any event, Clinton did what he could do. He did what any president, I suppose a well-meaning, thinking president would do. He tried to defend the country. He tried to do that, bail out the airline industry with one hand, try to help out the tourism industry with another hand, try to figure out who the hell did this, try to find out how we can effectively neutralize them militarily. All the while, he's got every brain surgeon from the West Coast to the East Coast second-guessing every bloody thing he's doing because it's political, baby. It ain't about the country. It's politics. And Kerry, who has the ability to see that there was such a thing as 9/11, hasn't so much as put down one idea as to what he would do were this country hit by another devastating terrorist attack and the economy goes into the toilet. You know, like I said, Passion of the Christ comes out, and everyone starts talking about how it's wrong, this and that and everything else. I mean, I'm thinking, wait, 2,000 years ago, were you guys there or something? Mel Gibson screwed this up. Oh, it's the worst thing. You know, it's beautiful, right? Telling him how the movie is just, like, all wrong. Out comes 9/11. Fat Ass puts this thing up on the movie screen like he just squeezed one out in a toilet bowl, and everybody's going, yay, how brilliant. I wasn't there, man. Everything he's got on that movie screen, and I saw that movie. None of that happened, man. None of it happened. You want to know why? Because I happen to know the backstory on some of that stuff he's got up there. I actually did my homework. John Kerry gets to be president, and he's promised everybody that he'll make it all good and nice again, and we won't have to be in all these big bad wars, and we won't be a bad criminal, and everyone will like us. You remember Sally Fields? You like me. You remember how we laughed at her? That's what we're doing. That's what Kerry's doing. He's promising they're going to like us again. The whole world's going to like us. I don't give a fat rat turd how the world perceives my country. I only care about how we're doing. Just because they don't like us doesn't mean we're wrong. You know, that's another lesson to be learned, folks. In life, even though there are many of us who are sweating every second how the world sees us. We walk out our front door and we hope that everybody likes the way we look, and we hope that everybody likes the way we talk, and we hope the way everyone likes the car we drive, and we hope we're popular, and we hope we're funny, and we hope we're good looking, and every zit causes us consternation, and every extra pound. No wonder Americans sweat how we're perceived overseas, the way we sweat every pound we got on our ass, the way we're worried about every damn hair that's out of place. We got such a fixation on our ugly freaking faces that we can't think of anything else. There's no spirituality there. There's no internal core there. It's just, how do we look? So a guy comes along and says, I'll make people like us again. Just because they like you doesn't mean they respect you. And just because they say they respect you doesn't mean they really do respect you. Sometimes when they don't like you and they don't respect you and they take pot shots, sometimes you're doing the right thing. Ever think about that one? And the day that John Kerry comes out with his plan on what he will do if we take another $1 trillion hit to the economy as the result of a terrorist action, how's he going to keep stimulating all those jobs he was bitching at Bush about losing? How's he going to build 3 million jobs in the middle of that hell? The day he comes out with that plan is the day that I'll start talking about it. Until then, hey, guess what? He ain't got a plan. I got a plan, though. I'm getting out of here. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.